Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a all new episode, a whole new season of Sports Urban Legend. Welcome everybody to the season 11th season premiere of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey man, what's up? How's it going?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm glad to be back with you, man, and I'm glad to be speaking to the you know, wonderful listeners of the show, man. But yeah, first things first, man. You know, I wanna. You still here, Mac?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, that's good. And you know, I wanna. First things first, I wanna apologize. To you listeners, man, you know, that unfortunately I haven't been able to, you know, do this show lately, but, you know, thank God I'm going to be able to do this show a lot more frequently, you know, this break was unforeseen, and, you know, unfortunately I didn't get a chance to talk about a lot of stuff that, you know, went on in the sports and entertainment world, so. We're gonna try to do a little catch up here for this episode. But again, you know, I apologize. You know, I wasn't able to, you know, do the shows lately. And you know, I love and miss you guys. So I'm glad we have this opportunity again. So again, you know, thank you for the, you know, support. Whether this is your first time listening to this show or you've been watching this show from the beginning in 2009. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart, you know, I just want to thank you guys for the support. But, you know, with that said, let's dive right into the big news of the week. And that's the New York Mets. You know, they have a new manager, a familiar face. And, of course, that's Carlos Beltran, arguably one of the greatest positional players, if not the greatest positional player, you know, along with Daryl Strawberry, you know, in Mets history. And, you know, as you know, Mac, you know, my choice for the next Mets manager would have been Joe Girardi, because clearly that was the best choice out there. You know, yeah. you have a guy who as a player and as a manager won a championship with the Yankees. So, you know, not only can he perform in the big spot in October, he's done it in New York City.
Yeah.
You know? So he was a layup. You know, all the reports were saying that he was interested in coming to the Mets. You know, when he was doing the broadcasts on Fox, you know, he gushed about the Mets, you know, offense and team, and it looked like a marriage made in heaven. But unfortunately, the Mets couldn't pull the trigger to make this deal happen. And unfortunately, I saw this happening. Once I saw that the Phillies were smart enough to fire Gabe Kapler, I'm like, oh boy, this is trouble. Because the only team I saw given us problems of us the Mets signing him would have been the Cubs, because, you know, he was a former Cub player. He's from Chicago. You know, he went to college, I think, in Chicago also. You know, he has strong ties in Chicago. But once that Philadelphia spot opened up, I'm like, oh, man, they're going to get this guy most likely, man, because, you know, where the Mets are looking at no-name people, you know, guys with no managerial experience, like Derek Shelton, and Tim Bogar, and, you know, of course, you know, people with no major league experience like Beltran and Eduardo Perez, you know, the Mets, Pat Murphy, you know, the bench coach of the Brewers, apparently. Joe Espada, who's the bench coach of the Astros. You know, they're looking for guys who have no managerial experience. But whereas the Phillies, that team mean business, man. You know, the major people that they were interviewing was Girardi, Dusty Baker, and Buck Showalter. You know, those are the guys that Mets should have been zeroing in on. But Mets didn't even, to our knowledge, Mets didn't even make, you know, even interview Dusty Baker or my second pick, Buck Showalter. You know, they weren't even interviewing them. But then there was rumors that they had a bombshell candidate that they were interviewing with. And you would think it'd be like, oh, maybe it's Buck Showalter, you know. Maybe they secretly interviewed him or somebody of that ilk, you know. But no, apparently Pat Murphy and some other name, no-name people that people don't know, you know, they're not household names. You know, these are the people that they're secretly interviewing with. I'm like, these are not bombshell candidates. These are bomb shelter candidates, man. I mean, like, who are these people they're interviewing with? And sure enough, Mets, they hire a person with no experience, but yet we're all very familiar with him, and of course that's Carlos Beltran. So here's my thoughts. I wanted the Mets to hire an experienced manager because obviously Mets not only did they hire the worst Met manager in history, they hired the worst manager. Period. In history, not only in team history, but in history, I've never seen a worser manager in any sport than Mickey Callaway, and I could do a whole episode on him. Period. But you know what I'm saying? Like, since Girardi left, he signed with the Phillies. The best option, with no experience, was Beltran and Eduardo Perez. So. I guess signing Beltran, I'm cautiously optimistic, you know, with a guy who's passionate of managing in New York, you know, he wore the orange and blue for 7 years, you know, he's played in the city, he was a superstar here, you know, he won a title with the Astros, and you know, I'm hoping that Brody Van Wagenen, who's a second-year GM, is going to give him the pieces to succeed. You know what I mean? I hope that's the case, but history shows that Mets, they don't go that extra mile. They're not gonna pursue Rendon, who they should, like, that should be the guy they should be targeting. They're not going to go after Garrett Cole. We don't even know if they're going to re-sign Zach Wheeler. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you know what I mean, what can I say about the Mets, man? Like, they have basically two inexperienced people running the show. So if they're not gonna spend the money, it's gonna be a really tough season, and it's gonna bite them in the behind. Not signing Joe Girardi.
Yeah, Joe Girardi. So, Girardi should have been like the guy they should have like had flowers delivered to his house. You know, with chocolates, trying to, you know, seduce him to come here. You know, they didn't do that.
Yep.
He's the top candidate out there, you know. If not him, then, you know, Showalter or Dusty Baker, like you said. I mean, the Beltran signing, it's not a bad sign because Beltran has experience in the baseball, in the baseball executive world, you know. He's been a consultant. He's been a hitting coach. You know, so he's just advanced now to being a manager, but I don't think he'll be I don't think it's a bad signing for the Mets, because a lot of teams are now going with this new thing where they sign former players who don't have experience to become managers now. And for the most part, it's paid off. And you had Francona win it. Not Francona, but
Alex Cora.
Cora win it with the Red Sox. You know, Boone has had success with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it works. Even Kapler with the Phillies last year.
Up and down.
Yeah.
But.
You know, even though this year they didn't succeed, but, you know, it's worked for the most part. So maybe, you know, maybe it'll work for the Mets. You know, I can see Beltran being a good manager.
With the Nationals. I mean, he wasn't with them for long, and he won the title.
But we're going to
get into that in a few seconds. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic about the Beltran signing. You know, obviously I wanted Girardi, but, you know, this is the best signing that isn't, you know, a person with experience, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion. And another thing I like that he did was that, you know, he wants Terry Collins to be his bench coach. And as you all know, Terry Collins was his manager his last year with the Mets before he was traded for the aforementioned Zach Wheeler. So they build a bond with that short amount of time that they had in 2011. And, you know, Terry Collins would be – if Mets would hire him because he's working in the Mets organization. But if they promote him to being a bench coach, I think that would be a great idea because this guy, he's managed in New York. You know, he's had success. He's done it all in a Met uniform other than winning a title. And, you know, you could clearly see Terry Collins isn't going to be a guy who's going to be, you know, like a guy who's going to sabotage Beltran so he could get the job back, you know. He's going to try to help him. So I think it's a phenomenal job. You know, Terry is a guy of great integrity, a hard-nosed guy, a baseball lifer. So I think it would be a great idea to hire a guy like that. And it shows how Beltran knows he's a guy who doesn't have that much experience, but he's going to lean on Terry Collins, you know.
Is that official? Because
No, it's not official.
I mean, I heard there was rumors, but it didn't.
No, it's not official.
Okay.
That's Beltran's suggestion.
Okay.
And apparently he made that same suggestion when he was working with the Yankees when he interviewed for the job before, you know, Aaron Boone won the job. So he's been eyeing Terry Collins as his bench coach for a while now.
I see.
For a couple of years. But, you know, kudos to him, man. And switching gears with the Yankees. The Yankees, unfortunately, they lost to the Astros in the ALCS, and then, of course, the Astros lost to the Nationals. They got upsetted by the Nationals, which I think Nationals was the first team to win every, you know, basically both teams, you know, won every road game, you know.
First time that ever happened.
Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. You know, kudos to the Nationals, man. They did what they had to do. You know, there was only two times this whole World Series that I thought they were gonna win, and that was when they were up 2-0, and when they won Game 6, because I knew once they won Game 6, you know, basically, you know, they would have had the momentum, you know, for Game 7, which basically they did after they fell behind 2-0.
They were hungry. You know, they were a determined team. You know, they were the hottest team, you know, entering the postseason, you know, and they finished as the hottest team. But, you know, I think they deserved it. You know,
they
wanted it more than the Astros, even when the Astros took the lead in that series 3-2. But
mm-hmm.
they went back to Houston, won both games, just like they did the first two. And, you know, I feel good for Scherzer and Strasburg, you know. One of the two best pitchers in baseball that we've seen
mm-hmm.
in the last 10 years. And they definitely deserve this title to cement their legacy.
They definitely did. Even though I wasn't rooting for them, you know, I can't stand the Nationals because they're in the NL East. So, but you know they deserved it, you know. And you know Nationals are gonna do, they're gonna sign people who the Mets should Mets should be trying to sign to improve their team. Like they're gonna Strasburg opt out, so he's a free agent. So the, you know they're gonna try to re-sign him. Rendon, you know. Their star player, he's a free agent. That's the guy Mets should be clearly going after. And then, of course, on the free agent side, you got Garrett Cole, which basically he has Yankee pinstripe written all over him. And, you know, the Yankees wisely, they gave Aroldis Chapman a contract extension to prevent him from opting out, you know.
That's good.
So... what's your thoughts about the whole, you know, the whole, you know, the you know, the Yankees postseason and upcoming off season?
Well, I think, you know, the main thing this off season is they need a starting pitcher. They need an ace, you know, and whether it's Strasburg or Cole, they got to sign one of these guys. If it's Cole, they got to throw money. You know, it's time for the Yankees to... you know, revert back to their old ways of, you know, going after that top free agent. Don't worry about that luxury tax. You know, that's nothing. The Yankees make millions of dollars. You know, are you scared of a luxury tax? Hey, come on. That's like comical. You know, the Yankees make so much money they're scared of a tax. Imagine you being like, imagine you like having $1,000 in your pocket and you're ready to buy something. And it costs like $20, and then you're being taxed $5. You're gonna be worried about that damn $5 when you have $1,000 in your bank account? Like what? So the Yankees fans, like, stop playing around and just sign Cole, and hopefully, you know, next year we can do better, go to the World Series like we're supposed to do this year. So we need an ace. That's what the Yankees need to do: sign an ace this offseason.
And I think they will. And, you know, Cole Hamels could be a fallback plan, too.
Yeah.
But I think Yankees are going to acquire Garrett Cole. I think they're gonna do what they're historically known to do. Spend
they
the
better.
Money and get the guys they need. I'm just worried about the Mets if they're gonna finally wise up and do the same. But I guess time will tell very, very soon.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen? I don't think the off season is gonna be as crazy as it was last, you know, this past off season, though, you know, at the end of last year to early this year, where, you know, you got Keiko and I'm trying to think who's the other person, Bryce Harper signing mad deep into the season or late in the whatchamacallit. Into the
right
well,
before
actually,
the season started.
Right, yeah. Bryce Harper took forever to sign in the off season, but then afterwards, of course, Keiko and I'm trying to remember the closer, Kimbrel, they signed like midway into the season. Like, it's crazy. And Keiko, he pitched well for the Braves, you know. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, Mets will also spend wisely to improve this team.
They need to, man. Hopefully that's something that Beltran can preach to them, you know. If you want to win, you got to spend money.
Yeah, man. Speak it to them. Say it in English and Spanish, man. Get it to their heads, man.
For real.
Understand, man. Whatever language. Pig Latin, whatever. Sign language. You know, get Daryl's girl, future girlfriend. What was it, Nicolini, I think? Do some sign language, you know. Let them know, you know, that, you know, they got to spend the money,
right?
But yeah, switching gears, talking about spending the money, the New York Knicks, man. They try to, you know, they try to get, you know, of course Durant and Irving, but you know we all know how it happened. So they, you know, they signed some, you know, some players, you know, who hungry players, you know, veterans in the league. You know, like Morris and Payton. I'm trying to think the other guys. Randall, which was the crown jewel, you know, of their signing. And then, you know, basically they've been losing, you know. They lost again today. They got blown out by the Kings at home. The only highlight the Knicks have is that, you know, they won that game.
That one win.
Yeah, that one win at the at the Garden. And RJ Barrett has been decent. I mean, the first four games, he was really good. Morris, he's been playing well. I think he's been averaging 28 points his last two games. But, you know, typical Knicks, man. They lost a heartbreaker a few days ago against the Celtics. They got blown out, you know, of course, today or tonight. And, you know, it's the same old Knicks, man. They just have to, you know, change the culture, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they can't get any players to come here. You know,
I agree, man.
It's messed up. That's why they can't be, you know, praying, wishing, hoping for somebody to save them. They just gotta focus on themselves and build a culture that people would want to come. Because according to Durant, we're not cool. But if a player of that caliber who was healthy would have came, I'm pretty sure the Knicks would have been cool. But this guy, he keep taking shots, you know. Oh, you know, they're not ready, all that stuff. But, dude, if you were healthy and you came to the Knicks, you would have changed the complexion of the team. It's like these star players, man, it's like they're waiting for another star player to come. They don't want to be the man. You know, they don't want to be the man that people look at and be like, wow. Wow, this guy, he's the guy who changed the Knicks culture around. Nope. He just wants to be the number two or three guy, but get paid like the superstar guy and be worshipped as if he's the star player. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how these players are, man. That's why they don't want to come to the Knicks, you know, because they don't want that pressure.
It's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb. I mean, with the Knicks right now, they don't have a point guard. First of all, they've tried Dennison Jr. Nilekina. They've tried Nilekina. What's the other guy? Peyton,
game.
You know, RJ Barrett too. You know,
shoot.
Hopefully, before the trade deadline, they could probably get Dennis.
Gary Payton.
No, we'll not get. Well, Gary Payton would definitely. Yeah, if we get Gary Payton, that'd be great. But. Mm. If they could trade for, like, a D'Angelo Russell, you know, since Clay is expected to come back this season, a guy like D'Angelo Russell would be a good fit for the Knicks.
Yeah,
you know?
He played well in Brooklyn last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so if we could get him to play point guard, that'd be great. But
mm-hmm.
Knicks definitely need a point guard, and they need to sharpen up their defense, man. It's like the Knicks haven't played good defense since the late 2000s.
Yes,
since 2001. The 2000s, actually.
With the exception of 2013. 2013 is like the only exception where they had
that
one season. Other than that, they've been horrible every single year.
I'm from since like 2000, 2001.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Until they got upset by the Raptors, who are, as we speak, are the reigning, defending, undisputed world champions. But. You know, that shows you how times change. Knicks used to be a team that was respected. Raptors used to be a laughing stock, and now the tables have been turned nearly 20 years later.
Yeah. And the Nets, they aren't so good either. I think they're 1-4. Or 2-4, something like that.
Yeah, I think they're 2-4. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, man, that first, what was it, the second game of the season? They had Kyrie Irving appreciation night with his jersey, you know, trying to troll the Knicks, you know, with his jersey night. Shoot. Lucky for him, I mean, he did score 50 points after the first game before then, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. The second day of the season, they're going to have a jersey night already? Like,
that's dumb.
Can y'all wait, like, at least 15 games or half a season to do it? Like, jeez. Maybe they were psyching. Maybe they knew he was going to score 50 points the first game. And, you know, they're like, okay, let's commemorate it. But, It is what it is, man. They're just setting the foundation and waiting for Durant to get healthy, hopefully next year, and see what they got.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man. And then you got shifting gears football-wise. You know, both teams are abysmal. The Jets, you know, they did the same thing that the Mets just did. Instead of hiring a proven guy like McCarthy, they signed Adam Gase, and they're like 1-7. So
their record is 1-7?
Yeah, it's like a crazy record.
They had
like
two
that.
Wins this year, didn't they?
I don't think they only have one win. I think they're 1-7 because they were supposed to beat the Dolphins, who were winless, Dolphins won. You know the
right.
team. You would have thought Adam Gase would have been fired up and have a strategy to beat his former team, but sure enough, the Dolphins drowned the Jets, you know. So
yeah,
and then of course the low light of the season was a few weeks ago. You know, the whole Sam Darnold's seeing ghost comment when, you know, he was being haunted by the Patriots that game. Like, I mean, what can you say, man? It's just, you know, the Jets have to, you know, try to win some games, man, and try to make this ghost comment a distant memory.
Yeah.
Because this season's lost. And then shifting gears with the Giants, you know, Giants has a lost season too, but you know Daniel Jones, you know, he's been exceeding expectations, and Giants are trying to win some games, man. And they recently acquired Leonard Williams from the Jets.
Oh wow!
At the trading deadline.
Okay, sounds good.
And not to mention his former teammate Jamal Adams has beef with the Jets because apparently, you know, he was being shopped around to the Cowboys, and he was, you know, complaining about that.
Yeah.
But back to the Giants, man. Well, you know, what's your thoughts on this season, you know, with the changing of the guard with you know, Daniel Jones?
Well, right now you just have to let him play. You know, he's a young quarterback. He, you know, he's gonna have you got to make mistakes, but you got to be patient with him. Let him learn, you know. I mean, a lot of young quarterbacks, they're not like Patrick Mahomes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The season that Patrick Mahomes had is like, you know, it happens one in a million. So you got to be patient with a guy like with Jones,
yeah,
you know, let him grow. And eventually he'll be a good quarterback, you know, that we envision that he'll be. You know, but right now, you know, let them play it out, and you know, hopefully this team can finish with a 500 record before the season ends. Maybe go on a run in playoffs, but that's acting for too much. But I just want to see them play competitively, you know?
Okay. Speaking of competitiveness, WWE, man, they had a phenomenal week. Especially the SmackDown. But before SmackDown, you know, the highlight of the week was, you know, Bray Wyatt finally winning the WWE Universal title against Seth Rollins.
Yep.
And before I get into that, I'm trying to think of what notable matches they had. There was Brock Lesnar dominating Cain Velasquez, which was a rematch of their real-life UFC match they had 9 years ago. And
he won
Brock
that.
Lesnar dominated him.
Yeah.
And got him to tap out to the Kimura lock.
Yeah. Velasquez, he looked like a bitch. Brock Lesnar treated him like that. Lesnar got his revenge.
Yep. And Lacey Evans fought against Natalya.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah, that was the first time, women fought, competed in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Wrestlers. If I'm remembering right, I think Natalya got her to tap out, right?
Yes, correct. And Tatalia defeated her by tap out. And yeah, it was good. That was a good match. I think there was also another women's match you had. No, was that the only one?
No, I think that was the only one.
Oh, yeah, that was the only one, yeah.
That was the only one.
Right,
I'm
yeah.
trying to think of other matches, but notable matches. The OC won that tag team turmoil match to determine who's the
Oh,
greatest
yeah.
tag team in the world. I mean, that's literally the tagline. I mean, the tagline is probably longer, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're obsessed with
It's...
this great, the best in the world tagline, every crown jewel. Last time was Shane McMahon, winning that tournament,
Oh, yeah.
even though he didn't compete in most of the matches in the tournament. But yeah, that's what happened. I'm trying to think. What else happened?
The Tyson Fury defeat Braun
Yes,
Strowman,
right.
but by count out.
Yeah, by count out. But he knocked him out. But then they had what? They should have just made a last man standing match. Because
Right.
of course, he knocks him out, and they count like, as if he knocks him out. It's really a count out, but they're acting like it's a TKO.
Right.
But and then of course Braun Strowman attacks him with the running power slam, which is predictable. I mean, we all knew Braun Strowman was gonna lose to him, because Braun Strowman is like the newer version of Big Show. He's the
Yeah.
big strong dude, who dominates, but then when it's a marquee matchup, WWE makes him loses
Right.
and put over, especially celebrity talent like Big Show with Shaq or Floyd Mayweather,
Well, the good thing about this match is that Strowman, he didn't like he didn't he wasn't pinned, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
So he lost on the technicality.
Yeah, there's no shame to getting knocked out by the reigning lineal heavyweight champion, which was the first time, a heavyweight champion competed in the ring as a champion. Of course,
Right.
Mike Tyson has competed in a WWE ring, and of course, Floyd Mayweather. Obviously, he was never a heavyweight champion, but he's competed inside a WWE ring. But yeah, I mean, it is what it was, It is, But trying to think of other memorable
You
matches.
had the Fiend, of course, the big match of the
Yeah,
night.
let's get into that. Yeah, what you want to call it? AJ Styles, I think, defended his title against Humberto Carrillo.
Oh, yeah.
But but yeah, Brock Lesnar, man. He no, not Brock Lesnar. Bray Wyatt. Finally, they finally put the title on him. Just like Kofi Kingston, the fans complaining about, Kofi Kingston on his on the road to WrestleMania to put the title on him, and then of course Daniel Bryan on the road to WrestleMania 33, or WrestleMania 3, I should say. They finally listened to the fans and put the title on Bray
Yeah,
Wyatt. So
that which should have happened in the
congratulations to
first
him.
match.
Ruined the Hell in the Cell match for no reason.
Right.
So that's when the title should have been on. Like having the Hell in the Cell and in disqualification, like, come on, that's a joke. And that's my favorite stipulation match. That's my favorite match, period. And they ruined that stipulation with that horrible ending. 2 years in a row, Hell in the
Yeah.
Cell ends in a controversy. The last year, Brock Lesnar interfered against, I think it was Braun Strowman and what's his name? Roman Reigns. He F5s, I think, both of them, and leaves
Oh,
them
really?
lying in the ring.
Yeah,
And if
I
you remember
remember.
last year, I was like, he should just took Roman Reigns or whoever and pinned them and made a decision. It was that simple. But no, and then this time, the Hell in the Cell, us fans were complaining because, it ended in disqualification. But then apparently the next day, it was revealed that Seth Rollins won, no contest, by him essentially knocking out Bray Wyatt with the referee. I don't know what sports he's been watching. He must have not seen the Hell in a Cell match with Mick Foley and Undertaker, or the Armageddon six man Hell in the Cell with The Rock, Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, Rikishi, Undertaker, and Kurt Angle. Like, there's been four, or even Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, the first ever Hell in the Cell. There's been a lot more brutal Hell in the Cell matches, but no, this umpire, I mean, referee had to be like, "No, you're better than this. Don't do this. Stop falling." Like, I mean, dude, this is a Hell in the Cell match. What do you expect him to do? Play Batman and win him? Like, come on. And the match ended in the most dumbest fashion.
But there's also the Team Hogan versus Team Flair match.
Right. And Roman Reigns hits a RKO, a spear on Orton to seal that victory.
Yep.
But yeah, Bray Wyatt, he finally got the title, and hopefully they will utilize him the right way.
Hopefully, right?
Yeah, they should make him at least hold on to the title, at least until WrestleMania. Or, you know, you can have him win a WrestleMania match. Let him fight against, you know who should be the person who should eventually take the title off him?
Who?
Braun Strowman. They need to build that guy up. Because right now, him and Bray Wyatt are, like, on the same level. Well, I mean, Bray Wyatt has the title now, so, you know, he's elevated. But it's like those guys, they're pseudo main event guys. You know, the fans want these guys to be main event guys, title championship holder guys. But then once they get a big opportunity, a title match, WWE finds the most dumbest ways to make them lose on a technicality.
Yeah.
So they should build up both guys, have them destroy people, legit, you know, wrestlers, and then afterwards set it up for a feud between those guys. I mean, they're both white, you know, former white family members. And it would be organic when they finally face each other. Have Bray Wyatt lose to him, and then that would build, you know, Braun Strowman into the star he, you know, we all know he could be.
That's a good idea.
Because I can't really see anybody else other than Brock Lesnar beating him. Because Seth Rollins, yeah, he beat him in the Hell in the Cell by technicality, but he took like 100 curb stomps in these two matches alone.
Yeah.
And I mean, he can't lose to the curb stomp. So it's like, what the hell can Seth Rollins do against him? That's what shows why it's so dumb that Seth Rollins won the Hell in a Cell. Because he had 11 curb stomps, I think, in both matches each. And it still wasn't enough. And yet he won? Like, come on.
Yeah, The Fiend was I'm glad that The Fiend won the title. And now, you know, you may even have like a Fiend versus Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania. What if that happened?
That'd be awesome, but they're both title holders, and they're not going to have a unification match.
Well, it doesn't have to be a unification. It could be just champion versus champion, and whoever wins just wins for bragging rights, you know?
Yeah, but to me, if you're going to have both of them as champions, it got to be a unification match.
We've had that before within the last several years where champion versus champion.
Especially
that's most recently with the champion.
The bragging rights pay-per-view event, you know, for the men. But yeah.
Right. And Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair too.
Yeah, but that was a real unification match.
Well, yeah, Because
it was her, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, true. A lot of times, you know, that doesn't always happen like that, but
yeah, like the bragging rights for reveal event, they have champion versus champion, and there's no, the title is on the line.
Right, exactly. That's why you can have it, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be for unification.
But sure.
But if they did do that, I mean, I could see Fiend winning that too.
I hope so. Because you know WWE is in love with making Brock Lesnar win matches, so.
Yeah.
I could easily see Brock Lesnar winning, even though Wyatt should have won that match because he needs to be elevated.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar losing a match here and there is not going to kill his legacy.
Nah.
But yeah, lastly, speaking of legacy, NXT, man, they dominated SmackDown, and I think it's going to be the same on Raw. They're going to invade Raw, you know. And then I think there's going to be a retaliation between, especially SmackDown on Wednesday night, and maybe even Raw also on Wednesday night when NXT is there. Like,
wow.
I mean, it was a smart idea having NXT invade SmackDown and just run roughshod on them. You know, Bryan lost to Adam Cole. Cena Baszler, the NXT Women's Champion, demolished Sasha Banks and especially Bayley. And I'm trying to remember, Sami Zayn got his butt kicked by Matt Riddle and Kevin Lee, I think his name is, the black dude. I know his last name is. No, Keith Lee, I think his name is. Yeah, they definitely put on a show, the NXT. So I'm really looking forward to this storyline. Yeah, it's very similar to the Alliance storyline, but you know, I'm really intrigued.
I gotta watch more of NXT.
Yeah, it definitely piqued the interest, you know, for sure, because now the lines are blurred. You know, there's gonna be retaliation by SmackDown, and I think even Raw. After, I think NXT is gonna invade Raw. So, yeah, that's gonna definitely make NXT much see, and NXT is, you know, clearly the high flying, you know, wrestling brand. But with this invasion, there's going to be a lot of eyes, including yours truly, watching the event, man. So,
yeah.
Mac, anything you want to say quickly?
Just check out my show, I'm Mac, on Saturdays at 10 only on Block Talk Radio. And come back here, check out Sports Over Legend. Usual time, Saturdays at 11.
You're
only
the guy
on Block Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out both shows and check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, and iMac at Saturdays at 10. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.